Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. Look, an interesting week in Parliament. And can I say it was our last week of Parliament. We have what they call the winter break, so a period of time before Parliament resumes, which is a chance to spend more time and get out and about in your electorate and go and learn, which is our job as an opposition. So I'm certainly looking forward to that. But an interesting week in Parliament, and first of all, you saw on full display the post-McGowan state parliamentary Labor Party, and, you know, as many of you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of the former Premier, whilst respecting his service for all those years to the community, but it's pretty clear that he was holding the show together in terms of the performance of the state Labor Party, because this week we've seen a party clearly deeply divided, clearly the scars of the tussle for the leadership between the now Premier, the Honourable Roger Cook, and the still failing Health Minister, the Honourable Amber Jade Sanderson. Boy, if there were lasers in the Health Minister's eyes, they'd be burning a hole through the back of the Premier's head sitting in Parliament. As I mentioned before, and I think you see it on full display, now the public are seeing what this Labor government is really like, and that is a government that is failing. They're failing on every level, you know, health, education, law and order, you know, housing, just an appalling record of poor performance, which at every level in the community, people are suffering from people, you know, who desperately need state housing, to just ordinary working families that are trying to buy a house. You know, they just completely failed at that as well. You're going to see, I think, more and more of that. And again, unfortunately, from the new Premier, I think I've probably said here, look, he's a lovely chap. I think most people like him. But, you know, if his premiership is going to be marked by just hardline left-wing rhetoric, repeating, you know, statements that the best left-wingers, the university-trained left-wing, like to regurgitate, if that's going to be his premiership, then he'll fail. You know, the former Premier McGowan definitely had a connection with the business community and definitely tried to keep the Labor Party at least appearing to be centre-right. Well, that cover's gone now, and what we're seeing is a massive lurch to the left of the Labor Party, including in the language used by the current Premier. And I will say, no more so than the debate that's occurred in Parliament this week on the impending implementation of the new Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Laws. Now, I've spoken about this before, and I've alerted the many risks to people, anyone who owns land over 1,100 square metres, that they're suddenly going to be subject to these new laws, and in particular the new regulations that came in. And of course, we've only had literally a couple of weeks to look at those regulations, and it's causing widespread anxiety. Now, people are usually used to the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Laws, you know, applying to bigger mining operations, larger developments, you know, larger government developments and the like. But of course, these laws are very clearly targeted at every single landholder who owns a block of land over 1,100 square metres. Now, I might say, not just the landholders, anyone who does anything on blocks of land over 1,100 square metres, any contractor, any builder, anyone who's doing any repair work and so on, they all have to understand and comply with these Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Laws. Now, on our side, we've made it clear, we think it's important to have sensible protection around Aboriginal cultural heritage. You don't want to see, you know, a site like Juukan Gorge being blown up. I might say, just as an aside, in that case, actually, the former Deputy Premier, Ben Wyatt, who is an Aboriginal person, was aware that that site was going to be blown up and did nothing about it. It had what's called a Section 18 approval to be destroyed as part of Rio's mine plan. But, you know, that was the justification for these law changes. Well, of course, that had already been through a process, and there's nothing to say that that wouldn't happen again or couldn't happen again under these new laws, so it doesn't really change that. But, of course, the government can say that these laws always apply to everyone, but the reality is it didn't. It wasn't in practice used at all, and suddenly this comes into the frame with these changes. Now, what we've said on our side is, please delay the implementation of the new form of the law. So it's a change to the existing act, but in particular, the regulations. You know, we had this debacle. The government said, oh, well, we're putting up guidelines. They put up some guidelines on their website last week. The guidelines were up for an hour or two. Business and other people had a look at it and said, what is this about? They were very perturbed by what they saw. The government panics, takes it down. Still no guidelines up on the website. And we still haven't had a proper communication for the whole community. It's not just the big miners. It's not just the big farmers. It's every hobby farmer. And as I say, and I think this is a bit that's really been missed in the discussion, every single person that works on land areas greater than 1,100 square metres, that is parks and gardens. That is, it's all government land as well as private land. So it's every contractor that works on local council ovals, for example. They have to make sure that what they're doing can't possibly trigger an offence under this new Aboriginal, or the changes to the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Act, but in particular the regulations that have just come in. So we've said to the government, please stop this rush into bringing this forward, because as of 1 July, it will apply as it currently stands. Please delay this and let people know so that people can prepare. Look, people want to do the right thing. I don't know anyone that just wants to go in there and cause harm. But give people time and have a proper education program, and that's what we haven't seen. It's a debacle. Still, you know, what do we hear? And this is where I'll come back to the Premier, Roger Cook. He accused the opposition of dog whistling. And look, this is just another member of Parliament, the whip of the Labor Party in the chamber, actually called the leader of the National Party a racist when he was asking a simple question about the implementation of the Act. But of course, the Premier's comments about dog whistling, he used another phrase, you know, us raising concerns about the appalling way this new law is being implemented is like a dog returning to its vomit, was the words he used, saying that, you know, and it was very clear what he's implying, and that is anyone who raises any concerns about these laws, as was the case when people raised concerns when the Native Title Act was implemented, is just a racist. It's just disgraceful, just appalling. It's un-Premier-like behaviour. And, you know, if Premier Cook is going to have a successful reign as Premier, then he needs to behave like a Premier, not to resort to gutter language when he doesn't like the fact that he's being challenged on an appalling implementation of a new law. So I hope he lifts his game. As I said, I think, you know, at a personal level, he's a nice person, but he's not just some other minister now, or not someone in a deputy position. He's the leader of the state. He needs to act like it. And he needs to take our concerns seriously. These are genuine concerns. Going back to another matter, under the former Premier's reign and under the Honourable Bill Johnson, who was the minister responsible before the Perth Mint. Look, top marks to Senator Dean Smith. Senator Smith, I think many of you would know, he's a senator, Liberal senator for Western Australia. And at a state level, we've tried to get the government to dig into this mint scandal. And I won't go through it all again, but I think the most egregious part of what happened was it's quite clear that the Perth Mint was being used by people who'd gained money illegally to transfer funds offshore. It seems almost certain that occurred, and we'll find out when the AUSTRAC investigation comes forth in terms of how they deal with that. And, you know, this happened on the government's watch, And we've asked as an opposition for the government to provide more detail, to reveal more to you, the taxpayers of Western Australia, who are on the hook when penalties come forth. And I, you know, who knows, but I cannot see how the state government is not going to avoid penalties in the orders of hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, for the appalling way that this was managed. But we said, be honest with the people of Western Australia. And of course, typical silence, you know, this gold standard transparency that was promised by this Labor government, never apparent. We never see it, and especially in relation to the Perth Mint. Coming back to Senator Smith has worked with the other crossbench colleagues in the federal parliament, and they are establishing an inquiry into this at a federal level. Then, of course, this has federal implications. The money laundering laws are federal laws, so it's appropriate that federal parliament should have a look at it. And I congratulate Senator Smith for working with his colleagues and the other crossbenchers to get that inquiry in place. And I hope that that reveals to the people of Western Australia what happened and why, and then what we can do in the future to make sure this sort of thing doesn't happen again. Look, otherwise, I'm really happy to take any questions or queries you've got. We're a bit later today. We've sort of found that when we go a bit later, we get fewer questions, but really happy to take any questions and queries. Otherwise, thanks very much for listening. Look, please share. You know, it's a chance to get the message out to a wider audience. So please share this with your friends and colleagues. And you can look up the live video or podcast. Just look up Dr. David Honey. You can do that on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok. And as I say, have the opportunity to share that with other people. And otherwise, just put your comments. Really great to get your feedback all the time. So, any questions?
Yes, we have one coming out of Facebook from Alex Hotat. I think that's how it's pronounced. And he says, what are your thoughts on Dr. Brian Walker, MLC's vaccine injury testimony? Also, Dr. Karen Phelps' partner vaccine injury, please explain. Many politicians supported vaccines that may have accelerated cricketer Shane Warne's death from a heart attack.
Yeah, look, I'm not a medical expert. I've you know, this during the whole COVID pandemic, or the main part of that, there were a lot of comments and queries, and people had questions about that, and I did actually respond at the time. Look, I've always believed that the vaccines played a useful role in minimising harm. That being said, we know that, look, it doesn't matter what drug you have or what vaccine you have, there can always be some potential side effects, and that's true of every vaccine that exists. But, look, I do believe that our agencies were responsible. I know that there are a lot of people who very passionately don't believe that, and they think that that wasn't the case. But look, in terms of those specific cases, it would be foolhardy for me to try and offer any sort of analysis or advice. I'm not a medical practitioner. I'm not an expert in that. You know, I'm not trying to avoid the question. I just don't believe that it would be responsible for me to offer some sort of opinion on that. And other than to say, I'll come back to it. You know, at the time of the vaccine, I supported the vaccination rollout. I thought some of the compunction requirements were cruel and unnecessary, and the persistence of those requirements past the worst of the pandemic, I thought, were punishment, and I thought that was wrong. I don't think that should have been done. But look, I think I'm on my fifth vaccination, so, you know, clearly at a personal level, I believe it's important to protect my health, and can I say I'm pretty sure I can say every member of my family is vaccinated as well. So, you know, it is at a personal level something that I think is important for me to protect my health.
All right. Out of YouTube from Matthew, what is the state Liberal plan for housing, since high rise is not for everyone and we cannot keep expanding?
A couple of things. I agree with you about high rise. I this idea that, imagine in Western Australia, I mean, goodness me, I think I said last time I'd been on a 2-week trip to India. You can fit two Indias in Western Australia, and the population of India, I think, is 1.4 billion people. And yet, you know, fascinating going to the Indian cities. I'd say there was more greenery, more green canopy in cities like Chennai, Bengaluru, Kolkata, and the like, than in Perth, which I found really surprising. And that's because over there they have laws that protect trees that go back to the formation of India as an independent nation. But look, in Western Australia, I do think there are real alternatives. One of the ones I've mentioned, and you know, definitely something that the Liberal National Party coalition was very keen on before, is develop the regional areas. I mean, this is what's happened in India. India, you know, the government there and the state governments have said, look, our big cities, we don't want them to get bigger, because as cities get bigger and bigger and bigger and more dense, you just accelerate a lot of social problems. And in India, what they're doing is developing the regional areas. We need a massive focus on regional development in Western Australia. And what do you need in the regions? I spoke about this in Parliament this week, and that is, first of all, you need people to feel safe in the regions, and in far too many regional areas, crime is out of control. And, you know, I was speaking to some a lovely person today about crime issues in the southern part of my electorate, and serious crime issues. But, crime people are seeing in metropolitan Perth, it is literally an order of magnitude worse when you get north of Geraldton, just horrendous. So you cannot expect people to live in the regions if they don't feel safe. No parent's going to take their kids there if that's the case. So that has to be dealt with. You need excellent medical facilities. And again, we've got this ludicrous situation where pretty well anyone who's having a baby these days has to come to Perth. We're having fewer and fewer and fewer births in regional areas because there aren't appropriate services available in the hospitals, you know, pretty well north of Geraldton. And even for Geraldton, you've got large numbers of people coming to Perth if there's any particular issue pending, or even just for a normal birth north of Geraldton, families are having to come to Perth. So you need first-class medical services. You need first-class schools. And again, you know, I've got greatest respect for teachers, and in fact for all of our public servants. I think, people may criticise them from time to time, but overwhelmingly we're very well served by, you know, as individuals, by our police, our teachers, our nurses and the like. But we've failed in that the government doesn't put enough of those resources into regional areas. So, you know, you need first-rate schools, first-rate hospitals, you need law and order, and then, of course, you need jobs. And I'm particularly scathing about this Labor government's failure to properly invest in regional areas to create the quality jobs that people need in those areas. And they're all things that we've got a track record. I mean, the work that was done by the former coalition government developing Karratha into a major regional centre is benchmark. And, you know, the Labor Party criticised every single thing we did, every investment they criticised. And now Karratha is a really high-quality regional town. It could be bigger, but nevertheless, that was good work, and that's a template for what we'll do. The other thing is release more land. I'm in fact, look, properly done, is the best solution to immediately reduce the pressure on house prices in particular. So I would really look at that release of more land. The other thing is with your high-rise, you know, what's happening with high-rise development in Western Australia at the moment? What's happening is that nearly all of the high-rise development is in the western suburbs. It's in areas that have got river views or areas that have got ocean views, so that you've simply got developers developing inappropriately high-rise apartments in these prime locations. It's not providing affordable housing for the people that need it. It's providing apartments for the kids of millionaires or millionaires where they want to downsize, and purely because the developers can maximise their return. Now, look, I don't mind developers making a buck. Good luck to them. They put their capital on the line to do all of that. But it's the disproportionate focus in my area. And I asked a question to the Premier on this in Parliament yesterday. You know, Claremont's got 28% of its accommodation. The town of Claremont, 28% of their accommodation is units and apartments. And in a previous question I'd asked the Premier, he said, oh, you know, Kennington was doing its bit for high rise. They've got 8.5% of their population in units and apartments. So, you know, the truth is that the western suburbs is being overwhelmed with high rise development. And whilst the real issue of providing affordable housing in the suburbs is not being dealt with properly. So, no, it's a bit of a long answer, but I do think we'll have great plans and solutions. And we've got a great track record of doing a vastly better job than the Labor Party in this area.
All right, from TikTok. When is a dual-lane highway going to be built from Perth to the eastern states, allowing all these small towns to be bypassed, preventing more death? We are very far behind the eastern states.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the bypass of towns is an interesting area because for a lot of smaller communities, they actually don't mind the through traffic because it does bring tourist dollars and income into the towns. And, you know, look, and where it's appropriate, look, where a community wants a bypass, that should be there. Look, dual-laning the whole lot, I mean, Western Australia is, the largest state in Australia. And so dual-laning the whole road, through to Euclid would be, I think, prohibitively expensive. But what we do need to see, the Great Eastern Highway. Imagine the wealth of Australia that travels along those roads, all of the mining and farming operations that depend on that road. It's an appalling road. It's in a terrible condition. The Albany Highway is like a roller coaster. It's a disgraceful condition as well, as an aside. But the quality of our roads is terrible, and I don't know what's happened because Main Roads is a pretty slick department usually, but there's something happened in the way that roads are constructed. But what we don't have are adequate pass lanes, and there should be substantial areas where there's dualing of the road, but in particular pass lanes. You know, you go to South Australia, you know, you get on their major highways, every 5 kilometres there's a pass lane where they have adequate opportunity to pass. And certainly the number of single, you know, where we have so much road that is just single lane without adequate pass lanes causes frustration, ends up causing accidents that cost lives. So I agree with you on that. We need to see better quality roads that aren't as dangerous as our roads are, but we need to see substantially more passing opportunities on those main roads, particularly that Great Eastern Highway.
All right. We actually have quite a few questions, so.
Yeah, far away. I'm happy, and when everyone gets bored, they'll switch off.
unfortunately, I think we'll have to make a bit more.
Somebody answer more concisely.
All right, we have another vaccine question out of Facebook. Hi, David. Hope you're well. Still awaiting a reply regarding your stance and that of the Liberal Party on the amendments and proposed WHO pandemic global treaty.
Yeah, look, I'm afraid I'm not on top of it, and you know, probably sounds like a sort of an excuse, but I'm pretty well overwhelmed with state issues, and that sounds very much like a federal matter. But you know, look, if there's something particular to the state, happy to hear about it. But I'm just not aware of the detail of that, so I apologise.
All right, Will on YouTube asks, will the Liberals look at the ARB codes to help assist these new development areas to have proper foliage and green spaces to prevent excess heating in the suburbs?
Look, it is absolutely imperative that we do. And I keep hearing, I think I've said to you before, people sort of imagine in Parliament that, you know, the different parties all hate each other and, you know, they never talk. But in fact, you talk to, you know, your colleagues from across the parliament, and there are some people you really like and some people you don't, and it's like any organisation in that regard. And I keep hearing from Labor Party people that the state government is going to do something about this. There have been some recent guidelines, I think, that have come out in relation to this, and the development industry is up in arms because they don't want to. They don't want to have those sort of offsets and green spaces, but look, absolutely, we will definitely have something about that. My colleague, the Honourable Neil Thompson, is our shadow for planning, and I know that's something that he's very keen on. And we need to do it. You know, I've said on this forum before, I got the shock of my life when I went to Brisbane because Brisbane was the poster child for inappropriate development in the 70s and 80s, and I hadn't been there for a couple of decades. Boy, Brisbane makes us look like a desert. They've got beautiful wide paths, tree paths, boulevards, tree canopy. You know, the way they've developed their inner, the city is quite remarkable. They've done a good job of it. We're doing an appalling job of it. It's, you know, the current government, I think, is on steroids on this, but the truth is collective governments haven't done enough to protect tree canopy and make sure that, you know, suburban streets have trees. These new suburbs that are being developed, they do not have a blade of grass, let alone a tree. It's just appalling.
All right, Lawrence Cooper asks on Facebook, Dr. Honey, could you give more exposure to the public to the word of Thomas Mayo with regards to the voice referendum, because it was quite clear that what Albanese doesn't want Australians to know about?
Yeah, look, I'm not familiar with that particular publication, but I've made it clear I don't agree with the, I don't support the referendum. And look, it's in two parts, as I've said. You know, the idea that you recognise that Aboriginal people were the first peoples of Australia, I think, is just a statement of fact. And I suspect, as Peter Dutton has said, the leader of the opposition, or the leader of the Liberal Party and the leader of the opposition in federal parliament, you know, that the great majority of Australians would have no trouble agreeing with that. But because the second part that I disagree with, because I think it's going to institutionalise conflict, but it's also going to institutionalise a whole range of other legal challenges and changes, is this idea of the formalised voice, which will inevitably cause a whole range of unnecessary problems. And the trouble is Parliament could actually just do it by a normal vote, not put into the Constitution. And if Parliament did it by vote, then it wouldn't have many of the constitutional implications that it does. So, yeah, look, I think there's some good information going around, and I've made my position very clear on this. I don't support voting for the referendum because they've included that second part, which is the constitutional, so-called constitutional voice to Parliament.
All right, out of TikTok, Walker asks, what about the driving device called Keeping Roads Safe? Great technology.
Look, tell me about it. You know, I will say in vehicles, it's really interesting. I was reading an article around Volvos in the United States, and the article was saying that in the last decade, there hadn't been a single death of anyone driving a Volvo in the United States. And I know outside of all the jokes about Volvo drivers, there's a lot of Volvos in the US, but the reason is there's such outstanding technology in those cars. That it just, when people do have accidents, which they inevitably do, it prevents them from injury. A lot of this new technology that's coming in to cars now is fantastic. The driver assist technology is fabulous. I think realistically, you could expect that, except in the most extreme circumstances, one, we're going to see far fewer accidents as that technology is more widespread, but also that human life is going to be protected by the various, you know, there's physical safety devices, but the electronic safety devices, I think, are quite remarkable.
All right. Out of YouTube, Will asks, what about the amendments that Roger Cook made to the Public Health Act in 2019? Do you still support those amendments?
Oh, well, it depends which ones you're talking about. So, I'm afraid you've got me on the hop on that one, and I can't give you a specific answer because I don't know which specific amendments you're referring to.
Okay, fair enough. And Will also asked if you have the Hansard so that they know your position, but I guess you need to know what the position actually is.
Yeah, look, and look, you know, Abby, I can encourage you. Hansard's actually a great service. So if you just look up WA Parliament Hansard, and you can go in and you can look up, you can search on topics, you can look up an individual member of Parliament. So for example, you could look me up. On my profile at the bottom, it's got speeches, and you can actually just go through the list of speeches and see what I've spoken on. And here, it gets a bit long because there's so few of us in Parliament. We do lots of speeches, but you can search on keywords and the like. So I encourage you to do that. In fact, I think it's a shame that more people don't actually look at what's said in Parliament, because I think you'd find that there's a lot of good work going on.
All right. I think that's the end of the questions. Yep. That's
sweet. We've exhausted them. Okay. Well, look, thanks very much, everyone. I really appreciate your feedback. Appreciate your questions. Look, if you want to ask a question on a specific topic, then sometimes maybe give it a little bit more info and that will help. But otherwise, I'll do my best to answer them. But thank you very much. Cheers.